1 Corinthians 9. And we'll be starting verse 24. Father, minister to us in the word here this morning that we would be more effectively used by you to bring the gospel to our friends, our family, our neighbors, our loved ones. May the enemy be bound, and may you bless our time in discussion and in the word here this morning. We lift up all the special needs. We thank you for those that went to the altar. We pray you would meet those needs in a very special way. But we lift up all of our unspoken prayer requests to you in your name. And we lift up those, I pray, Lord, for this week coming up. We pray, Lord, for hot air from the DR to move northward. And we just pray it help furnaces to keep working and protect us as we're driving on the highways, especially with the people that seem to be able to drive at 60 miles an hour. And I don't know what kind of tires they have, Lord, but protect us on the highways and keep us safe and warm and bless our senior saints. And we give you thanks for your goodness to us and ask your blessing on this year as always for our church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I was reading some statistics, and this message is on winning our family and friends to the Lord. If you could freeze the population of the world as it is right now, so no one ever died and no one was ever born, you just froze it, the amount of people that are here, at the rate that we're winning people to Jesus, it would take 320 years to win the United States to the Lord, and it would take over 4,000 years to win the world to the Lord. And as I've probably shared before, at least Christians in the United States are sharing their faith at the lowest levels ever. Another statistic that's just brand new that came out is I already knew that only 20% of Americans attend any church whatsoever. Okay, but I now know that only 12% of those 18 and under go to church. Now, it's 20% of all Americans because there's a lot of older saints that are still attending church, but only 12% of the kids go to any church. So in other words, if I go to Mars School District or Cranberry School District or Butler School District, basically only one out of every 10 kids goes to church, any church, okay? Only one out of 10. And out of the one out of 10, the 12% of the kids that go to church, 90% of them will give up church by the age of 18. So you see, only a few kids are going to wind up being in church after they turn 18. So we really are, this is why we're in a post-Christian nation, as less and less people are going to be attending church and know the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul shares some secrets, I think, some keys to being effective in winning people to Jesus. So 1 Corinthians 9, starting in verse 19. Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible, to win them to Jesus, to have a relationship with their God. Verse 2, to the Jews I became like a what? A Jew. To win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, that would be Gentiles, to those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became what? Weak. If to the strong, Paul would become what? Strong. To the hippies, Paul would become what? A hippie. Okay, you got it. To the Martians, he would become? He'd live in Mars, right? Okay. 22. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel that I may share in its blessings. So here's some of the principles that I saw. I first thought of that Paul, think through about the person or the people you are trying to reach with the gospel. Paul was very, you know, I think he thought through when he went to Turkey. He said, how am I going to reach the people that are in the country of Turkey, of Asia? How am I going to reach the Italians when he went to Italy? He's like, you know what? I think I'm going to eat spaghetti. I think I'll take on the Italian. How many Italians here? Raise your hand. Okay, so if I'm going to become Italian, what do I need to do? Lots of pasta. And what else? What's an Italian characteristic I should take on? I hug and kiss everyone. Okay. And then don't Italians get loud sometimes? All right, so then I go to Greece, and now I got to be like a Greek. Any Greeks here? Not so much for that. So that you're a Greek family? So what do they do in Greece that would be unique? Warm and friendly. Okay, and then Paul went to Spain, and, you know, so wherever he went, when he went to Jerusalem, he was Jewish. He kind of fit in with the Jewish people. When he went to Gentiles, he fit with Gentile, with the weak. Okay, so I was thinking, you need to think through who you're going to reach. Like, what's your family like, or your neighbors, or your people at work? And I thought this principle is true for churches, too. Think through about the people that our church is trying to reach with the gospel. So not only does Paul change himself, but I think as a church, we need to figure out how do we need to change as a church, as a whole, to reach the people that are all around us. So I went back to the computer this week, looked at the demographics, and there's basic, I looked at Cranberry and looked at Adams Township. And I know we got people from Wexford, Coriopolis, Butler, good group from Butler, but, you know, I stuck kind of with the Cranberry and Adams Township right around the church. And here's what I discovered. There's two groups of people. 20% of the people that live in our area are kind of the old timers. They've lived here a longer time, maybe most of their life. The average price of their home is $150,000. They're older. On average, they're at least 50 years old, and they make about $40,000, $45,000 a year. That's one group, 20%. Here's the 80%, the new people that have moved in. The 80% of the population now. They're younger. Their average age is 37. 45 to 50% of them have children at home still. They live in a house that's $300,000 on average as opposed to $150,000 on average. And the household income of these people is $88,000 instead of 40 some thousand dollars. And that's 80% of the population. They are well-educated young professionals with children that have buy big homes and nice cars that are moving into the Cranberry, Adams, Township, Seven Fields area. It's 80% of them now, and it is only growing. So I'm reading, Cranberry, Adams, Township are the fastest growing areas in all of Western Pennsylvania. And over the next 10 years, 10 to 15, they are saying that we are going to double in size again. Okay? Cranberry is going to go from 25,000 to 50,000. And Adams Township is going to double at least as well. And I'm thinking, oh man, the traffic. Isn't the traffic enough now? Can you imagine twice the amount of people that will be here in 10 years? So, and they're all going to be these younger, educated, good jobs, good pay, good money, lots of kids, you know, doing very, we're the Silicon Valley. Is Silicon Valley in California? Okay. We are the Silicon Valley of Western PA. I mean, there's a lot of places in the whole country that don't have the education, the brain trust, the young families, the wealth that's coming right where our church is. We're right in the middle on 228. We're literally in the middle between Adams Township and Cranberry. We're right here to reach these people. Right now it's 80% of the population, but over the next 10 years it's going to become like 95% of the population. So we need to think through, what kind of church do we need to be? What kind of building, what kind of church do we need to be in order to reach these people that are moving, that God's bringing to our area, okay? Principle number two. We need to go and spend time with them. So someone did a study. You know, Paul obviously, I'll back up to that in a second. Paul obviously went to Turkey to reach the Turkish people. And he went to Italy to reach the Italian people. And he went to Spain to reach the Spaniards. And he went to Greece. And he went to Jerusalem. I mean, missionaries, when they go, they got you the Great Commission. Go and make disciples, or come and make disciples. Go and make disciples. So someone studied Jesus. He and in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, to see how many interactions he had with different people. And he had 132 interactions with people. Six of them were at the temple, and four of them were at the synagogue. We know in Scripture that Jesus went to the synagogue every Sabbath, and he went to the temple on a regular basis. So he didn't skip church. He went to church. He went out there with the people, but he was always at church. So I don't want you to think that, you know, to go means don't go to church. He was always at church, but 122 interactions with people were outside the church walls, were out with the community. In fact, he did hang out with religious leaders, but he hung out with tax collectors and pagans and prostitutes and thieves. And as the religious people said, he's hanging out with sinners. And he went out to them. And so we also need to figure out how are we going to take, I mean, it's nice to hope that people just show up and come to our church, but I also think we need to figure out how are we going to go out and reach the people that are coming to our area. Principle number three, you need to be flexible and adaptable in your sharing and living out your faith. So again, when Paul wanted to reach someone who was Jewish, what did he become? He became Jewish. And when he was reaching a Gentile, what did he become? A Gentile. And when someone he was reaching someone weak, what did he become? Weak. Pastor Jeff was saying that he was in the Dominican Republic last week, and he said to witness to some of the kids and all, that he actually got down. They sit in the dirt, and they're down the dirt. And he says, I got down in the dirt with them in order to share the gospel. Okay, he became, and Jeff, you know, if you know anything about Pastor Jeff, he's been learning Spanish so he can speak to them. He can be like one of them. Okay, so let's think about this: how you need to be flexible and adaptable. What if Paul was witnessing to a Republican? Let's say someone was really into politics and they're a Republican. What do you think the Apostle Paul would be? He'd be a Republican. Yeah. Oh, yeah. What if he was witnessing to someone who was a Democrat? He'd be a Republican. Yeah. He would find those. He'd be like, the Democrats have some good things, okay? You know, they. Jimmy Carter was a Christian. I'd love that Democrat. Okay. So, I mean, you find some connections, okay? Both parties have the truth. The Tea Party, he'd be Tea Party. If Paul, like, I think of myself, if I'm going to witness to a Catholic, I put on my Catholic, you know, I know how they think and, you know, the good parts, there's some really good things about the Catholic Church. And so I become Catholic. When I'm witnessing to a Protestant, I become Protestant. When I'm witnessing to a scientist, I thank the Lord that the first 4 years was pre-med, and I love biology and chemistry. I love science. I love talking about it, and I love psychology, and was at a secular college, so I kind of know how they're thinking. I kind of, if I'm with wealthy people, I'm wealthy. If I'm with poor people, you know, it's just fun going out to, I enjoy, you know, Paul starts out there and says, though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone. I enjoy every type of person. Sometimes you go into someone's home and it's kick off your shoes. All their furniture is 70 years old and they're like, hey, pastor, put your feet up on the table and we're going to have food in the living room and don't worry about it. And it's like lots of fun. And I fit right in. And then I go to wealthy people's homes and maybe it's more formal, the dining room and the china. And I'm like, oh, yeah. You know, and you take the silverware from the outside in and, you know. So because you don't want to bring barriers to share the gospel. You know, needless barriers. Sometimes we like to fight people. We make comments and we set up barriers so that we don't get a chance to share the gospel. I want to tell you the story of James Hudson Taylor. So back in the 1800s, it's this young guy. He's growing up. He's not a Christian. He's a teenager. He's rebellious. He's bad. He has a sister who is a Christian, and she wrote in her diary every day. She made a pledge to God. I'm going to pray for my brother, James, every single day until he gets saved. And I was like, wow, how many of us pray every single day for one of your loved ones to get saved? Maybe your son, your daughter, your mom, your dad, your neighbor. Every single day. She just made a commitment. Every single day. So she prayed like for years and years. At 17, James gets saved. And I mean, 17-year-old on fire for the Lord. England, he's in England. England realizes that China is this huge nation with lots of people and there's no Christian witness. And a bunch of guys get together and get some money together to send the very first missionary to China. But they can't find anyone to go. But James, he's now 21. He's only been a Christian 3 years, just started college, 21 years old, and he says, I'll go. And these guys, oh, you will go? Yeah, good. We can't find anyone to go. Well, now, we can give you money to get there. We can't guarantee that you'll be getting money once you get there. You might have to get a job in China. He doesn't know anything about the Chinese, doesn't speak Chinese. But he's like, you know, these are the 21-year-old, you know, on fire for Jesus. That's what he's got, and that's probably all you need. 5 months by boat it took in those days to get from England to China. That would, you know, a five-month cruise. Well, I'm sure it wasn't as nice as the cruises of today. So he arrives, 2 years, can't win anyone to Jesus. He's by himself, can't win anyone to the Lord. He finally figures out in Chinese that they're calling him the Black Devil because he wears this suit, this black suit and a black suit coat from England. And so James, at the age of 23 now, makes a decision that he is going to dress like a Chinese person. And he's going to adopt the Chinese, you know, if they celebrate the Chinese New Year, I'm going to do that. Now, you understand when Paul says to the Jew, I become Jew, to the Gentile, I become Gentile, to the weak, I become weak. Do not take it to the extreme, to the thief, I become a thief, to a prostitute, I become a prostitute. No, Paul says, I'm still under Christ's law. So we don't do things that are sinful. But James Hudson Taylor says, I'm going to dress like a Chinese. There's nothing sinful dressing looking like a Chinese. And he shaves his head and grows a ponytail to look like Chinese. And he learns the Chinese language. And the people in England, the Christians in England, when they heard what he was doing, they were upset. They were like, how dare you? You're representing England. You should dress as a proper person from England in that suit. And you should speak the mother language of the earth, which is English. And what are you doing? You know. And James actually writes back and says, quotes to them 1 Corinthians 9 and says, look, I'm becoming Chinese to win the Chinese. And after he makes that transformation, hundreds of people come to Christianity. Over 300 missionaries follow him. He starts the China Inland Missions. Over 300 missionaries follow him. And thousands of Chinese come to the Lord. In fact, today, over 200 million Chinese are probably evangelical Christians. It has the most born-again Christians in it than any nation in the world, China now, okay? And if you wonder why the blessing may be moving from the United States, that has percentage-wise only about 5% born-again Christians, moving over to China, where 200 million now are following Jesus Christ and believing in his word, you might have the answer why it's shifting over to another nation and another country. So I, just so you know, James Hudson Taylor, you know, he lived there his whole life. He passed away there. His wife passed away there. They were buried in China. And just last year, a factory was built on top of the grave site. And just last year, the factory was taken down. They found his grave and his wife's grave. They dug them up and buried them in a Chinese churchyard over there just last August of 2013. We need to be adaptable and flexible. Principle four, be a servant to others. Look at verse 19. Paul says in 19, though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a what? A slave or it could be servant to everyone to win as many as possible. And let me just read this in Philippians to you. This is about Jesus. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. So God did the same thing that Paul did. Paul went to the Jews, became a Jew. Went to Italians, became an Italian. Went to the Romans, became a Roman. Jesus is up in heaven with the Father. They're God. And God says, you know, to reach the people of the earth, why don't you become one of them? Why don't you become a man? Wow, can you imagine that? God, I mean, I can't believe how infinite and powerful God is, that the Son of God became one of us, became a man, ate food like us, and slept. I mean, became one of us. Can you imagine God becoming one of us and became a servant? Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. In other words, because serving, when you help people out, it opens them up to the love of God. So the reason, like your neighbor, if you go and shovel their sidewalk and serve them, or they're working on their electric and you help them out with their electric, or they're having a tough time with their kids and you help them with their kids, by serving them, you open them up to the gospel, just as Jesus served us, and it opens us up to the gospel. All right, I want to take your Bible, and I want to share with you a method of sharing your faith. Because a lot of times Christians are like, you know, I want to share my faith, Pastor. I want to give the gospel or lead people to Jesus, but I don't know how to do it. So I want to share with you one method that you can use. And actually, I'm going to kind of share two. But so take your Bible, and if you're okay with writing in your Bible, which you should be, in the front, find an empty spot on one of your front pages, and you're going to write down two questions. First question is, if you're talking to someone, if you were to die tonight, do you know where you would go? So Pastor Jeff, come here. So everyone understand question number one? You talk to someone and say, hey, you know, let's talk about spiritual things. If you were to die tonight, do you know where you would go? Now, so how do you think most Americans would answer that question? I'm going to go to heaven. So Pastor Jeff was over, and they used the same method over in the DR. So what would the people say over there in the DR?
Well, if they were going to heaven, they would say arriba, and which is up. And if they're not going to heaven, they'll flat out tell you baja, which is down. That's what.
So they actually will say.
Mm-hmm. And they'll point and look down.
And what percentage say up and what percentage say down?
It's like it's a mixed bag.
So that's interesting because most Americans usually don't say, unless they're I've talked to teenagers in 20s that sometimes, oh yeah, I'm going, you know, to party down below or whatever. But most Americans will just say kind of heaven. So it's interesting in the DR that they know about, maybe they still believe in hell over there. So they're going down. Okay, so then the second question is, if you were to die tonight and you stood before God, and I know this is a long question, so you're going to have to write this out later on, okay? But you stood before God and he asked you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? So, Jeff,
I know
you're a rotten sinner.
Yeah, but
lives
on
Mars. But if
you know what, I think my good stuff's outweighed my bad stuff, and you know, God loves everybody. I'll go.
Okay, so you get them to answer that question, and in the United States, did you ask that question over in the DR?
Sometimes,
and how would they answer?
But we kind of already, you know, they kind of jump ahead of that. But
they jump ahead, but they're going down, so
yeah.
You don't even have to ask that question.
Yeah.
In the United States, you ask that question, and most people that are not Christians, if they're Christians, usually they'll say, look, I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. If they're not Christians, they usually will give you a works answer. I've been good. I know Pastor Toomey. I attend church every so often. They'll give you a good works answer. All right, so after question number two, now you put in Romans 3:23. All right, you can... Or am I going to use you as my victim? I'll use you as my victim. So Romans 3:23, you put. So this is all in the front of your Bible. So, well, Jeff, I can't call you pastor at this point. Jeff, I know I heard your answer that because you've been good and your good deeds outweigh your bad that you're going to go to heaven. But let me share with you. Can I share with you four principles of what the Bible says? A lot of people actually don't know what the core message of the Bible is. And it's actually... I can distill it down to four principles. And the first one here is, are you interested in seeing what the core? All right, the first one's in Romans 3:23. And I got it written in the front of my Bible to remind me, Romans 3:23. So in Romans 3:23, which I will find here, it says, Jeff, that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Actually, we're all sinners. And there's a great gulf. We can't get to God because of our sin. Our good works are not good enough because we have to answer for our sins. And we all fall short. God is perfect and no sin can be in his presence. And so we all fall short. But now right next to Romans 3:23, in the margin in your Bible, put Romans 6:23. So you know where to go next. But Jeff, in Romans 6:23... The second thing that we see here is it says, for the wages of sin is what? It's death. And that's spiritual death. That's, unfortunately, our sins deserve hell, spiritual death. But the good news is, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So there actually is a gift that God gives us. And I want to show you how that gift actually was purchased for us by God. Now, right by Romans 6:23, you put Romans 5:8. Okay. So in Romans 5:8, come back one chapter, it says, and like in this Bible here, for some reason it's underlined in my Bible, and that might help you too if you underline it, the verses, Romans 5:8.
I don't think really I'd be good enough for God. I have to tell you that. I probably got to clean up stuff first.
You're trying to throw me off.
No, I'm not.
That's a very good question.
When
someone tries to throw you off, you just say, that's a good question, we'll get back to that, and move forward.
I'm leading you right into it.
But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So Jesus actually went to the cross while we were still sinners because God so loved. He went to the cross, and God took my sins, he took your sins, and put them upon Jesus, and he suffered hell in our place. And our sins were paid for. And we know that God accepted his payment for our sins because he resurrected him from the dead 3 days later, that God accepted that sacrifice. But there's one more truth here, which is now put by Romans 5:8, Romans 10:9 to 13. Or just put Romans 10:9 that you're going to go to. So Romans 10:9. It says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, you believe Jesus is God, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him, when you put your trust in Jesus, you'll never be put to shame. You will not go to hell. You won't answer for your sins. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be what?
Saved.
Saved. Jeff, if you call on the name of the Lord, if you just repent of our sins, because we are sinners, Jesus won't force himself. But if you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and you ask him to come in your heart, that you're going to live for him, you can be saved. And he'll make an amazing difference in you. In fact, if you get saved, he may call you into the ministry. Don't scare him like that. So, and then you can ask them if they want to pray, or I can pray and you can pray along with me. Or if you would like to just tell Jesus that you're a sinner and you want him into your heart, you can pray. Okay. So, all right, go. You got your Spanish track? Is that what
you?
I need one of the tracks here. So grab one of these tracks. So this is, we have a track rack in the back of the church, and there's all kinds of different tracks. That's what I just went through with Pastor Jeff, is what's known as the Romans Road. It's probably been used for hundreds of years, if not 2,000 years. And that's just a good way, if you have a Bible and you want to share with your friend, neighbor, loved one, a simple gospel presentation. This is a tract that you can get on the back. It's called Steps to Peace with God, and it's by Billy Graham. So, I mean, one of the ways, and it's just kind of going through exactly the same thing I just did from my Bible. I mean, there's ways you can say, you know, Billy Graham, who, by the way, used to be part of the Alliance before he went to the Baptist. We won't hold that against him. He wanted to reach more sinners, so he went to the Baptist. So Billy Graham is like the greatest, you know, you can lay in why they should see this. I mean, like, he's an amazing Christian leader and evangelist. And so he has four steps. Step one, now he puts in John 3:16. He emphasizes that God loves us first. And Pastor Jeff, when you were witnessing over in the DR, you start with John 3:16 as well. Then step two is we're sinners. And Romans 3:23. Step three is Christ died on the cross. He uses Romans 5:8. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then step four, he talks about receiving Jesus. Now, he doesn't use Romans 10:9-10. He uses John 1:12, which I like too. Yet to all who received him, to those who believe on his name, he gives you the right to become children of God. So, and then there's a sample prayer he has there. Here's how you receive Christ. I'm kind of in the middle there. Admit your need. I'm a sinner. Be willing to turn from your sins. Believe that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross and rose from the grave. And through prayer, invite Jesus to come in and control your life through the Holy Spirit. Receive him as your Savior. What to pray? Now, here's a model prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am sinful and need your forgiveness. I believe that you died to pay the penalty for my sin. I want to turn from my sin nature and follow you instead. I invite you to come into my heart and life in Jesus' name. Amen. Does that express the desire of your heart?
Absolutely.
Would you like to pray that?
Sure.
All right. Why don't you? All right. So how did you use this over in the DR?
Yeah. It was, I mean, you know, we started out, how are you? My name is Jeff. You know, we introduced ourselves. And like I say, a lot of the people were just sitting on the ground. So you sat on the ground beside them. And I would ask them the first question. Lots of times, you know, we would come across Christians and we'd say, well, that's great. And if they didn't, we'd say, why, you know? And usually it was shrug the shoulders. And I said, well, you know, God really loves you. And I'd go in John 3:16. We'd walk down the Roman road. And exactly what you laid out. Exactly.
Now, how did you do the prayer? Do they pray or do you pray for them?
I would have them repeat after me.
That's what you?
I did. Yeah, I wanted to make sure I heard them. And then when they were done, we said, now, do you understand what is happening? And I would usually follow up and ask them something like, you know, now, do you understand where Jesus lives now? And they'd say, yeah, it lives here. So.
In my heart. Good. Amen. We did not know this ahead of time. I had this in my sermon. And here he is over in the DR actually. He has the same track in Spanish. So it tells you how the Lord. So these tracts are available. Grab them. They're free. Take them. Here's how I would use it if I was going to leave this somewhere, like at a restaurant, or Danielle, I'll pick on you. So let's say, you know, I want to leave this track with Danielle. So I know I don't have time. She's busy working. I want to witness to her. I come in. My car's breaking down all the time. They always fix one thing, but make sure something else is ready to break. So Danielle, I would write on the track, Danielle, you are amazing in serving me. I just so appreciate the friendliness. And I just wanted to share with you that this, the information inside this little pamphlet, I wouldn't call it a tract, that's what we call it. This little pamphlet has just changed my life. It's written by Billy Graham. And I hope you read it tonight and ponder the truths. Signed, Joe. Okay? If it's a waitress, get the name of the waitress. Oh, you've done such a great job. Here's a great tip. Put your $20 tip in there. And don't not leave a tip and go, this is my tip for you. Okay. That's a good way. And right, you are an amazing waitress. Your serving heart. You are one of the best I've had. And please read this tonight. You know, if you just lay it on the table, I think they'll just throw it out. But if you write a note, a personal note to them, then I think they're more likely to take it and read it. So there's all kinds of tracks for, you know, all kinds of. In fact, this track is out for Easter. I've got them up here, but there's an Easter one and there's sports ones. And please use that track board. They're free. Take them and give them out.